Hey, what's up? I'm Alexa Casper, and this is Heezy Life, where we embrace hard things now so that we can live easy later. It's about to go down. What's up, friends? This is episode 46 of Heezy Life, titled Live With Less So You Can Experience More with Joe Hawley. Today, we will be talking about how Joe shifted his life from a professional football player in the NFL to, well, a life not yet written. Joe is documenting his journey with his dog Freedom and his pimped out van through his brand Man Van Dog Blog. Ugh, quite a mouthful, but very suitably named. I love it. What gets me really excited about Joe is that he has already lived an incredible life, but that is not enough. It wasn't the right life for him. And now he is taking action to craft the life that he was meant to live. And he's inspiring a community to live with less in order to experience more. I'm all about that. Let's get into it.
You say every man's a king, king of what?
What I learned is that I didn't think it was enough. And so I kind of wanted to take a step back and see what life would be like without chasing that excess. So I'm basically just taking advantage of my opportunity that I do have to go pursue this dream of mine.
And quite the dream you are pursuing. So I'm interested, how did you get started on this journey?
Well, you know, van life's becoming a pretty big thing, or I guess a more well-known thing, like on Instagram and stuff. There's a lot of people, you know, living this lifestyle. So I've always been kind of intrigued by it. And my career was coming to an end in football. And I was thinking about, you know, what I wanted to do. You know, a couple of years ago, I was thinking about doing a road trip. I wanted to visit all 48 states. And so I saw an opportunity as a young man with some money in the bank who's single to take this opportunity to go travel the country and do something that he's always wanted to do and always thought about. And I feel like a lot of people, you know, have these ideas that they want to do or dreams that they're like, wow, that'd be really cool if I could do that. And I had the opportunity to actually go fulfill one of those dreams and pursue it. And so I decided, why not? Let's do it.
Yeah. And do you think that football enabled you to be able to take action on your dream?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, without football, I wouldn't have this opportunity. I was able to acquire a little bit of wealth. You know, I was pretty good with my money over my career. I saved a lot. So I have, you know, I have some time before I have to start worrying about what's next and, you know, where my next paycheck's going to come from. I did a good job saving. So that allowed me an opportunity to not have to worry about the money, but to kind of focus on, you know, passion. And so I consider myself very blessed. I mean, I worked hard for it, but, you know, it's definitely nice having that security blanket.
Yeah. And so how does it feel? Because when I look at your life story and I'm like, you were in the NFL, you've done all this stuff, you found such great purpose. I mean, for a lot of people, that's making it, right? So like, how did you feel once you had quote unquote made it? And then when did that shift happen where you're like, well, this isn't really the made it for my life?
Yeah, totally. So, you know, as a kid, when I decided that I wanted to be a football player, that was the dream. The dream was born. I was in high school when I first started playing and I fell in love with the sport and I was like, this is what I want to do with my life. And so everything I did leading up to now was football. How can I be the most successful football player and get to the highest level? And that kind of started shifting a few years ago when I got to the highest level and I became a starter. And, you know, your goals always kind of keep going up with your career. And I made it to the top and my body started breaking down. That's when I started realizing I'm not gonna be able to do this forever. I saw that I lived a dream and my dream kind of started shifting. Like, this isn't what I want to do anymore. And I started doing it for the money. You know, I worked hard, but my passion wasn't in it. You know, this last year I wasn't a starter. I was actually on the sidelines, and it was the first time in my career when I really didn't have the urge to actually be out on the field. Like, every other year, it was, you know, if I was on the sideline, I'd be like, I'm the best player on this team. Like, I need to get out there. You just have that kind of mindset. And when I realized that that mindset wasn't the same, that I didn't have the same passion for the sport, that's when I knew it was time to kind of shift. And so last couple of years, I've, you know, started reading more about business and started getting really intrigued with the entrepreneurial mindset. You know, I feel like it really matches with kind of who I am and what I am. And so I wanted to get involved in business. This trip, I actually started, you know, an LLC with this blog. And so it's kind of cool. It kind of correlates with what I want to do with business. And it's like a little practice run. You know, I created an online store actually today. And so I put some products up there. And And so seeing how it all works, the business is kind of like a dry run for when I do get done with this trip, I kind of know and have a little bit of experience.
Yeah, and that is so cool how it's like our side hustles can become our full-time hustles.
Exactly.
And I'm interested, like, what type of books or what learning were you specifically interested in?
So the first book, I love self-help books and inspirational books. And I think that's why I have such a good attitude towards life and my positive energy is because I work on it. It's not something that just comes naturally. I mean, I'm naturally an upbeat person and positive person, but it's something I work on, you know, every day to try to become a better person. One of the books that really started me on my like spiritual path, reading books and learning about like self-discovery was The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari. And it was really powerful to me and really spoke to me about this guy who was working himself to death. And this is, you know, a story of America and consumerism is, you know, this guy is working himself to death, becoming a lawyer. He's a top trial lawyer and he has all these possessions and he has a heart attack. And so the doctor's like, you got to quit your law practice or you're going to die. And so he sold everything he owned, moved to, I think he went to India and searched out these monks and he like learned from them. And I mean, it's really good story. And so it really spoke to me and I took a lot of stuff from that and kind of applied it to my life. And then ever since then, I started reading a lot of books and I started getting into business books and, you know, just learning. I love learning.
Yeah. So you're a closet nerd?
I wouldn't say I'm a nerd. Like in school, I wasn't really like really smart kid in school going up. And I think it's one of those things where when you find something that you really enjoy reading, then reading becomes fun. And so I found this genre of self-help inspirational books that I really enjoyed and I could really apply to my life and they could really help me become a better person, become more successful and help other people. And I just fell in love with that. So, I mean, I'm not going to pick up like an autobiography of somebody and like really enjoy reading that, but and I found my niche and that's why I love reading now.
Yeah, it's really cool. And I'm such a fan of positivity, motivation, and just the power of your mind. Is there a quote or a person that really inspires you or motivates you?
On Instagram, I started following Gary Vaynerchuk, Gary V, and I read a couple of his books before because I used to not really be good at social media or into it at all. But I felt like when I went on this trip, it was kind of my responsibility to share this message of living with less so you can experience more. Gary V has a couple books about social media and how to create a platform and grow it. And so I learned a lot from him. And I love his message because he's really in your face, no excuses, but it's all really positive. And, you know, he's one-on-one with people. I mean, he has like 3 million followers and he still takes like calls from people and like helps them out. And so I think it's really cool. As far as a quote, I don't know the exact quote, I'll probably butcher it, but you know, the Steve Jobs quote when he talks about, when you realize that the world was created by people that are no smarter than you are, that's when everything changes. And I feel like a lot of people, they think that the world is like the way it is and that's just the way you were born into it. But everything that is created around us, the world that we live in, was created by people. And when you realize that they're not, you know, any smarter than you are, then you kind of have this epiphany like, wow, I can really have an impact on this world and change this world and help it become a better place.
Yeah, and I think that's so powerful too, because it also invokes this responsibility within us that like if we want to see change happen, we have to move and do stuff and make sure that we are being the best us that we can be. And I think you're such a huge testament to that and just how you kind of shifted your mind and your body and your soul towards this adventure. And like, so I'm interested, what are you really trying to gain out of this? Like, what does success look like for you?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are like, what are you searching for? Like, what's the point of this? Are you going on like some soul search mission? And I'm sure I'm going to learn a lot about myself. I kind of already am. But I kind of just wanted to live my life like kind of free. I mean, football for the past 16 years has always told me, you know, where to be, how much to weigh, what to eat, how strong to be. And it's just a constant stress. Like, a lot of people think, you know, the 3 months of a season, but it's not just the 3 months of the season that's stressful. It's every single day you got to make sure you're in good enough shape. And so it's a very stressful job. So I kind of originally just wanted to break free of that, you know, scheduling and always being told what to do. And that's kind of where it started. And now people are like DMing me saying that they're, you know, so inspired by what I'm doing. And all this feedback has really kind of grown into something more than I ever thought it could. And so I kind of feel this responsibility to share this message, this positive message that people are receiving so well. And I love spreading the positivity and seeing the feedback from people. It's really kind of, you know, making me feel good about myself, which is a win-win.
Yeah, and I just want to thank you too, because you've been so easily accessible. And my husband actually reached out to you, and just the fact that you really are living that message that you want to be with the community that you're growing. And I really respect you for that. So thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. One of the things I'm trying to do is respond to every single DM I've gotten. And I mean, when the USA Today article came out, I got probably 300 or 400 DMs, and it took me a couple of weeks, but I tried to respond to every single person that was, you know, reaching out to me. And, you know, that's one of the things I learned from Gary Vee, is not about how many likes you have on your photos and people like seeing your stuff. It's about building a community and, you know, impacting people. And when you can reach out and actually have the interaction with people, that's what social media is all about. It's not about, oh, look what I'm doing, look at me, do you like my pictures? It's about creating a community and an interaction with people. And that's what I've learned. And it's been really cool, because, like, you know, I have a community that's starting to build, and people will reach out to me on a lot of my stories. And so I, you know, communicate with them back and forth. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. And as you're going through this journey and clarifying that vision, like, what is the pivotal message that you want to bring to that community?
I mean, my slogan would be living with less so you can experience more. And I'm not saying, like, don't go for your dreams and wanting stuff's bad, but it's the excess stuff that you don't need that adds clutter to your life. And that kind of goes along the lines with the minimalism. I watched a minimalism documentary a couple years ago, and it really spoke loudly to me. It's different for everybody. Like, minimalism isn't, this is how you're supposed to live your life. It's basically getting rid of items that don't add value to your life. And we all have a lot of stuff in our life that doesn't add direct value, and it adds stress, it adds clutter. And even if you don't realize it, like, subconsciously, if you have more stuff, I mean, it takes up space in your mind and your soul and your heart, and it weighs you down. And when I decided to give all of my stuff to charity and started cleaning out my house, I started realizing, like, all this stuff, I was like, what is this? Like, why am I even keeping this? You know, and you feel like you have to keep stuff because it means something to you, or you have these clothes that you don't really wear, but you're like, I might wear them, but you never really wear them. You don't. And so you start giving stuff away. And when I started giving stuff away, I start literally feeling like this physical weight getting lifted off my shoulders. Like, it was a physical feeling of stuff, like, getting let go. And so I kind of want to share that with people. I mean, you don't need more stuff. If you really want something and it adds value to your life, then that's one thing. That's totally cool. But it's all this little stuff that you just hold on to that adds baggage. A couple of my friends, actually, really cool little side story that I think this is really cool. For Lent, for the 40 days of Lent or whatever, they, instead of giving something up for 40 days, they did a thing where they decided to get rid of one thing in their house, one a day for 40 days. So they end up getting rid of 40 items. It's really simple, but it's like a start on the journey to give you, you know, a little starting point.
Yeah, I'm totally going to do that. So I want to read you a quote from one of your recent Instagram posts. You said, "When things get tough, I know a lot of people turn around. They say that it's too hard or they aren't good enough. What I'm trying to say is that no matter what you are going through, if you keep pushing and have a positive attitude, you'll be so happy with what waits on the other side." How do you feel when I, like, read those words back to you?
It's pretty cool. I mean, people are scared of failure. And what I've learned is that it's all perspective. It's all mindset. If you can either let failure define you and, you know, kick you in the butt and tell you you're not good enough, or you can use it as what it is, which is a lesson. And, you know, failures just are lessons, and you learn and you grow and then you become better. And I feel like a lot of people, when they get on tough times, they, you know, they start thinking, especially in, like, business or starting your own business. I mean, I've had trouble with this blog. I mean, you go look at my first vlog, and I remember filming that. It took me 10 hours. I was like, just kept filming it. And I remember it was my very first one, my very first try doing it. I remember calling my sister, and I was like, I can't do this. Like, I don't want to do it. Like, I can't talk to a camera. Like, I, you know, I had this huge dream of doing this and sharing it, and I'm just not going to do it. I'm just going to go on the trip. And, you know, I think everybody has those thoughts, even the most successful people. But the ability to calm yourself down and work through the problems and become better and learn, you know, that's part of the process. And, you know, a lot of people see all these successful people that are running huge companies, and they see, you know, where they're at now, but they don't see the journey that they were on to get to that point. And everybody goes through struggles and failures, but it's all a growing process and a learning process. And to get to that point, you have to go through that, because that's how you're going to learn. And I feel like a lot of people get discouraged and they turn back. And so my message there was just to keep pushing, because once you get to that other side or to that next goal, you're going to feel so good about yourself, and it's going to kind of create this momentum, and you're going to start rolling, and you're going to start getting better. And, you know, it's one thing I learned with football. Like, you know, that's why I'm so thankful for football, is because I learned that, you know, adversity is what makes you better, makes you stronger. You know, I ended up playing 8 years. And when I look back on that, I think, you know, I can do anything. Like, I had a dream when I was a kid, and I went through so much to accomplish that dream, but I played at the highest level. So I can do anything I want, put my mind to. And I feel like a lot of people, they don't realize, like, hard work pays off. You can always, if you start doing something and you learn it and you get better at it, it's all part of the process. You can't just be an expert at something. You got to start.
Yeah, I'm such a huge advocate for being a beginner. And this is kind of like my fail year. And I think it's we have to train our bodies how to fail. Like, I think a lot of times we're more scared of the idea of failure than actually failing. And I'm interested in, like, what has failed along your journey so far?
When I first started talking into a camera, I couldn't do it. And it was crazy. And I had all these outtakes. And then I remember I called my sister. I was like, what if I just mashed up how bad it was to show people that there's a starting point, and that if you really work hard at something and learn it and keep with it, that you do get better. And so I'm so glad that I did that, because now I have this little, you know, breadcrumb trail where you can go back and see my first blog, and then you can go and see the one I made recently. And, you know, it's been a few months, and I look at the improvement. I'm really impressed with myself, and I'm really proud of myself for pushing through and sticking with it. And I'm glad that I showed that beginning stage of not really being good at it, and allowing people to see that it's a process, that if you really want to do something, you just got to start doing it. You know, there's so much information out there. I read books about it. I, you know, looked on YouTube, watched other vloggers, and I just started learning. I was like, if this is something I really want to do, then I can get better at it. It's something I can learn. And, you know, seeing that improvement has really given me even more motivation to continue to get better and sharing the experience.
Yeah, you just got to get in there and do it. So we covered the man, you. Let's talk about the van. Where did you find this van, and how did you make it your own?
So a year ago, I was like, you know, I want to do this trip. So I started looking into vans and kind of always keeping an eye out. And I found this company called Sportsmobile that does the conversions. And I fell in love with, like, what they did. They can basically take any van and convert it how you want it. When I decided I wanted to do this, it was a few months before my trip, I called them up and I put down a deposit for a full custom build. But it was an 8 to 12 month wait period. And so I was like, you know what, and they're hard to find the way you want them online because they're so fully custom. I sat there for about a month and I started, you know, doing my little thing on, they have like this little cutout diagram thing that you get. And so it has all the different options and you can kind of fit it in the van how you want it. So you build out your van how you want it. And I was doing this and I started, you know, trying to call them, and they were like so busy, they weren't really taking my calls. And I started getting frustrated. I was like, you know what, I'm just going to have to, like, search for one and buy a used one, because I don't think this process is going to work and I don't want to wait that long and obviously be a little bit more expensive. So someone I was working with at the Bucks, one of the guys that worked in the kitchen, found these school buses. And so he's like, hey, I heard you're converting van. You want one of these school buses we found for really cheap? We can build them out. And I was like, okay, let's do it. And so I ended up going, I was going to get a school bus, an old school bus, and do it myself and do the whole build out. And then I decided, you know, I'm not a carpenter, I don't know what I'm doing, and these guys wanted to build their own, so I figured that was going to take too much time. So then I was like, you know what, you gotta really do some research online and find one. And I searched for like 4 or 5 months and finally found this one, and this guy in California who was selling his, and it was almost exactly how I had my build out and my custom build out when I was talking about getting a new one. And so I was like, you know, this is the one. And I was actually traveling out of country when I was going to go buy it, and so I had one, and it's all the way on the other side of the country. And so I had one of my friends that lived in California go check it out, and I was like, dude, if everything looks good, just pull the trigger, let's do this. Like, I have a really good feeling about this van. That's kind of how I am. I trust my intuition. If I have a good feeling about it, I kind of go for it. Ended up buying it used from this guy in California. I got really lucky. It's 10 years old, only has 75,000 miles on it. He didn't really use it that much. It's a diesel. The engine's in really good shape. And he took really good care of it. And I brought it back to Tampa, and I put, you know, a little bit more money into it, did some cosmetic stuff to it, kind of made it my own. I put a new bumper on it, a new sound system, a little security system, a new paint job, and just kind of beefed it up a little bit. And I am so happy with it. I love it. It's one of the coolest vehicles I think I've ever seen.
It is very cool. And I love your Cribs style vlog. That was solid.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I watched a lot of MTV Cribs episodes on YouTube to try and get that right.
You really played the part well. I appreciated the small nuances of it.
Thank you.
So I know that you're planning on, you don't really have everything tracked out, but I'm interested in like what experiences you want to have, or like what are you looking forward to?
So actually the next month, I'm actually going to Bonnaroo Music Festival this weekend, which I'm super excited about. I'm meeting a couple friends there. But the next leg of my trip, I'm going to plan it next week, is I'm going to go to baseball parks. And so I'm going to do a little northeastern into the Midwest baseball tour, I guess you could call it. So I'm going to try and go to 10 different parks in like 20 days and just grind it out and just do a bunch of miles and go to a game every other day. I'm really excited about that. I want to see all these different baseball parks. I kind of got into baseball a few years ago when I started doing fantasy baseball with a couple of my friends. And it's a really competitive league. I used to hate baseball, but now I love it. So I want to go do that. I'm really excited about that. And then probably after that, I'm really excited to get out west. There's a lot of stuff I want to see out west. You know, I'm from California. I went to school in Vegas. I love the desert. There's just a lot more open space out there on the West Coast, and a lot of beautiful places that I really am looking forward to seeing.
Well, that sounds awesome. I'm super jealous. I mean, how fun. And so that kind of covers the man in the van. Let's talk about Freedom. What is her story?
Freedom, my favorite girl in all the world. She's sleeping over here right now next to me. So, Freedom, I knew I wanted to bring a dog on this trip with me for, you know, multiple reasons. The most, you know, not being as lonely, obviously. You know, a few weeks, it was probably like 5 or 6 weeks before I was, you know, heading out on the trip. I started looking for a dog. Went to a couple different shelters. Didn't really find anything that really jumped out to me. Originally wanted a year to 2-year-old dog that was already potty trained. Like, I had this whole list of things. And then I decided, you know, maybe I want a puppy, but I didn't think a puppy would, you know, be good on the road because they'd have to be potty trained. But I was like, you know what? It'll be better for long term. Let me get a puppy. I can teach it. So I went and saw these couple puppies at this pet resource center in Tampa. And every time I'd get there, it was like 20 minutes away. Every time I get there, the puppies would be gone. They're like, yeah, sorry. They go really quick. And I'm like, okay. So I went there 2 days in a row. And then the second day, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to, you know, the puppies are gone. I was like, I'm just going to look around. So I looked around and did a couple different play dates with these dogs. It just didn't feel right. And then I saw Freedom in her cage. Every other dog was barking up against the fence, like, pick me, take me, take me home, take me home. And she was like in the corner, curled up in a ball, like shaking, like so scared. And I was like, you know, what's up? Are you okay? And I like, you know, come here, come here. And she like went to the other side of the fence and didn't want anything to do with me. I was like, dang, you know, so I kept walking, got another couple play dates. Nothing really felt right. There was another dog I kind of liked. And I was like, you know what, let me do a play date with this dog. So we brought her out, did a little play date. And she didn't even look at me or like come up to me the whole time. Like, she just kind of sniffed around and she was like kind of shaking still. And after like 5 minutes, I was like, you know what, I think this is the dog. And I can't tell you why. I just feeling that this dog hates it so much here that she's going to be so grateful to get out of here. And so I was like, I'll take her, threw her in the car. And as soon as we got home, she jumped on my lap and like licked me for like 30 minutes straight. And she's been attached to my hip ever since. And I got so lucky. She's already potty trained. She's so sweet. She's the most mellow mannered dog. She does great in the car. She loves, you know, other dogs, people. Like, it's just crazy. And so I you know, I believe in a little divine intervention right there, because she's perfect. I got so lucky. And you know, adopting dogs, I feel like they're a lot more grateful for you saving them. And Freedom's definitely that way.
That's awesome. And I mean, you did talk about like just a little bit on the loneliness piece. Like, do you get lonely or do you feel like she's kind of helping you with that?
Oh, she's 100% helping me with that. I'm sure if I didn't have her, I'd be a lot more in my mind, you know, thinking about stuff. But I'm sure when I get out west, I'm going to be confronted with a little bit more, you know, self-discovery, loneliness kind of stuff. Because, you know, I've been traveling the Southeast and I've been doing a lot of weekend trips with friends and visiting people. And so I'm still kind of in my comfort zone. Like, I know a lot of people in different cities I've been. And so I've never really felt like I've been too far away from anybody. Like, I always have people I can contact if anything happens. So I think once I head west, I think I'll be a little bit more solitude, a little bit more me on my own, trying to figure it out, which I'm really looking forward to, actually.
Yeah, there's always that little bit of like fear of the unknown that is exciting. I mean, but that's why you're doing it, right?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people, they're scared of that unknown. And I mean, I'm scared too. Everybody's scared. But that scared feeling is what makes you feel alive. And, you know, every time you travel or go see a new place, there's a fear of the unknown because it's outside your comfort zone. It's somewhere you've never been. So you don't have these projections in your head of how it's going to go. And so it's like kind of this dark unknown. But when you step into it, like every time I've traveled to a different place, I've always been scared and like, what's going to happen? Who am I going to meet? And then as soon as I'm leaving the trip, I'm like, wow, that was the best trip of my life. Like I had a blast. And so, you know, I've kind of taken that whole approach with this, like going into the unknown constantly every day is making me feel more alive each day and living in the moment instead of having to like get in the routine and the monotony of life. And that's, you know, kind of part of the trip and the excitement of it.
So I know that you've done a lot of interviews and told your story a lot. What's your favorite part about your story? Like, what do you enjoy talking about the most?
I love the fact that it's been such a positive message and people responded so well to it. It kind of like blows my mind the feedback I got, because I originally started doing this. Like I said, I'm going to, you know, have fun. Like this is something I want to do. And I don't see myself as like some big motivational change people's lives kind of guy. So getting that feedback from people has really been inspiring to me, and it's helping me kind of pursue and stick with this, this whole thing, even when, you know, I do get lonely or stuff on the road gets hard. You know, it's more than just about me now, but it's kind of finding a balance too, because, you know, social media definitely adds a whole nother layer of stress. And so trying to find that balance of creating content to motivate people and be positive, but actually working on myself and not letting it stress me out too much. So there's definitely a little yin and yang to it.
Yeah, I feel that. I had a little bit of like a mini panic attack today. It's like you just sometimes you freak out and then you're like, dang, I'm supposed to be an example to people. Like, how can I be doing this? But I think what's so great about your message and just kind of this community of social media is that we are human, you know, and the whole goal is that we're trying to help, but also like, you know, we're still trying to figure it out too. So
yeah, I don't have it all figured out at all.
Yeah. Like I'm trying.
I mean, I've had days where I literally, like I wanted to stop doing the blog because it's just adding too much. Like, cause I want to respond to people on the DMs, and some days I'll get 50, 60 DMs and I'm trying to go through, and then there's conversations pick up, and next thing I know, an hour goes by and I'm like, you know what? Like I'm not even here in this moment, you know, I'm on my phone. And so I'm always the kind of guys try to be conscious of phone time, but with this blogging thing, I have to be on my phone a lot. And so the balance is definitely something that you got to work through. And I'm sure, you know, a lot of content creators go through that.
For me, and what I'm learning through my journey is like how to be unique in that message. And that sometimes you're like, man, has this been said so many times, or people have already done this? Like, how can I bring my own flavor to this lifestyle? So it's definitely an interesting mm-hmm. journey.
You just got to be authentic. Be yourself is the biggest thing, I think.
Yeah. So who inspires you?
Like anybody who like works hard and doesn't make excuses. When I see normal people that are hustling and trying to improve their lives and try and get better at something, I love it, because I feel like so many people make excuses or have bad doubts or self-talk to themselves, and they give in to not being good enough or feeling like they're not good enough, and they make excuses for themselves. So anybody that can overcome that and push through that and hustle and grind to improve their situation or go get better at something and go in the extra mile to become great, like that stuff gets me going. I love it. I love it.
Yes. And that is what Easy Life is about. It's about doing hard things now so that you can live easy later. And it is so important to balance that hard work, but also being able to take care of yourself, because that's ultimately like your energy and how you're doing everything, right? If you don't take care of you, you're not putting your best self out there, then it's not even worth it.
Exactly.
So what advice do you have for Easy Life listeners?
Man, I mean, it's along the similar lines, like go, like make a clear path of what you want in your life and go for it. Don't make excuses. Don't compare yourself to other people. You know, just work hard for what you want and keep going. I mean, there's so many examples of people who have gone through so much and come out on the top. And if you keep going and keep working hard, I promise you that good things will happen.
Love it. How can we help support you on your journey?
Oh, so I actually just got my Shopify store up today, like an hour ago, which I'm really excited about. I'm still working out some kinks, but if you guys want to go to my Shopify store, there's a link on my Instagram at manvandogblog, and buy a shirt or something, and you know, that'll help support me on my trip.
Sweet. Well, thank you for being on the podcast. You've been amazing.
Thanks for the opportunity of being on your podcast.
I love Joe's message to work hard, be kind, and to use less stuff in order to live and experience more. Please go out and support Joe's journey by grabbing some merch. I'll put the link in the show notes. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for listening and for investing in hard things now so that you can live easy later. Go out today and create an awesome day. You got this. Have a great week and keep it easy, my friends.